Thank you, Tom. Our sermon scripture is found in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Before we look at this text, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day you've given us, Lord. We thank you for this church. We thank you for our pastor. We thank you for your word. We thank you for everything you do, Lord. Lord, I pray that you open up this word to all of us, that you might make it clear, that we might understand it, and that we can take an application and put it into our lives. I pray that anybody here or online doesn't know you as their savior, that today would be the day they would call upon your name and begin their road to salvation. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. The sermon is titled From Darkness to Light. Brothers and sisters, we all know what darkness feels like, don't we? Maybe not exactly the kind Isaiah describes in this passage, but we're certainly familiar with it. We've all experienced it in our lives at one point or another. Isn't that true? And darkness shows up in many ways. There are times in our life we feel completely alone or abandoned in our struggles. We touched upon that in our Bible study a little bit downstairs. We may even feel that God has abandoned us. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to all of us. I know it's happened to me. But for a believer, that's simply not true. God will never abandon us. It's really us. We're the ones that are guilty from turning away from Him. Something goes wrong in our life, and we pull away instead of really clinging to the cross, instead of going to Him. This message is just a beautiful message that we're gonna cover. It's about the darkness and the light. So I'll start off with a little bit of a imagination here. Imagine if you're lost in a deep forest, far from any city lights. You're hungry, you're thirsty, you're overwhelmed with despair. Panic starts to set in. You wonder if anybody's going to come looking for you. Even the daylight of the day isn't enough to find your way home. And the cycle goes on and on. Imagine the anxiety, the loneliness, the depression that would bring any of us. Moments like these can be disorienting, heavy, heavy in our hearts, in our minds, even frightening. It's hard to see the path in front of you. One wrong step, and you have to stop yourself from falling. It's in that fear that we think God has abandoned us. These experiences would give us just a small, minute example of what Isaiah is talking about in this prophecy. And I mean a very small example. But when we go through these trials in our own lives, they don't seem so small. They don't seem small at all. And we've all been there, right? Trapped in our sin, buried under anxiety, wondering where God is, and He's there. We just don't call on Him. Brothers and sisters, Isaiah chapter 60:1 starts not so much with a command, but a prophecy. Isaiah is speaking to the church when he says, "Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." This message Isaiah points to is the light that's already shining. He's pointing to our promised Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isaiah makes this prophecy somewhere in the 8th century BC, roughly 700 years before Christ comes into the world. God gave Isaiah this prophecy centuries in advance to prepare his people for the one that would come to redeem us, for our Christ, the one who would come to atone for our sins and to bring us to salvation. He tells us in Isaiah 59:20, if you have your Bibles open, Isaiah 59:20 says, "The Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, says the Lord." And Isaiah premises this message also in chapter 58:8, when he says, "Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard." The light that Isaiah speaks of is the gospel that was to come. He's prophesying about Christ coming 700 years, roughly 700 years later. This is the ultimate purpose of this chapter, is to talk about the gospel that's the coming, the one that would atone for our sins. But Isaiah warns the church in chapter 60, verse 2, when he says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." Isaiah was not talking in present tense. He's prophesying about what's coming. He's telling the Israelites that they're going to be in darkness. Darkness is going to overcome them. A time of judgment was coming. The Israelites would be in a spiritual blindness. The earth is corrupt. A fitting example of a fallen humanity. And we're not far from that today. Isaiah had been calling out their sin in the first 39 to 40 chapters of his book. This would be a dark moment in Israel's history. Jerusalem would be in ruins, conquered by Babylon, in complete darkness, separated from God. And they were the ones that created that separation. God didn't pull away from them. But here comes the good news, the gospel. In the midst of their despair, Isaiah finishes chapter 60, verse 2, with a message of hope. He tells the Israelites, "But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." Isaiah is telling the church to stand up, to awaken from their slumber. The Lord will arise over them. God was calling them out of their spiritual death, shining his light on his people. This was a message to comfort the Israelites. They were being judged for their sin, for their idolatry, captivity, the darkness they were living in. And in Isaiah 60, verse 3, the same message of hope was extended to the Gentiles. "Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to brighten to your arising." This message shows that the Gentiles were always part of God's redemptive plan. This wasn't limited to the Jewish people. This was the Jews and Gentiles united in Christ. This applies to you and me. It applies to all of us as believers. The true light was coming into the world. Brothers and sisters, isn't that where we were prior to Christ? In complete darkness, spiritually blind. We were dead in our trespasses. In our natural depraved state, we were vessels of wrath, headed for destruction. Until Christ showed us mercy. Showed us mercy we didn't deserve. And the scriptures don't mince words. The Bible tells us in our darkness, in the natural state of every human heart, apart from the grace of God. Isn't that true? Isn't that where we all lived before Christ? Before he woke us up out of our spiritual slumber. And Ephesians 2:1-3. If you could open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 3. And it says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. In once you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath. Just as the others. We weren't any better. If it wasn't for God's mercy, we would be in that state of captivity. This is the gospel message. We were dead in sin, made alive in Christ. We weren't just merely confused or ignorant. We were dead, spiritually dead. We were morally corrupt, helpless without God. And for every believer in this room, let's be honest, that was you and me. That was all of us. We definitely didn't shine the light on ourselves. We lived in the dark. We lived in that forest, away from the city lights. We were helpless, filled with the anxieties of the world. I know that's true for me, and it's probably true for most of us in this room. We lived in the pleasures of the world until God delivered us. We definitely didn't deliver ourselves. The majority of my life, I attended church. I made an offering. I might have known a couple of Bible verses, but I knew nothing about Christ. Nothing. It was when God called me out of the darkness, just like he did with all of us. You know, the pastor also often refers to an 18-inch Christian. It's the distance from the head to the heart. That was me. I wanted just enough to be able to call myself a Christian, but I didn't want to put the work in. I wanted the reward, but I didn't want to do anything to earn it. Not that we earn anything. But we are called to be obedient. And that's probably true of most of us. Are you guilty as well? If we were left to our own desires, we would still live in that state, a state of pride, sin, with no regard for others. We only thought of ourselves. It was only by his grace that we're all here today. And if you're living in Christ, that's your story as well. It wasn't in our wisdom that we pulled ourselves out of our old lives. It certainly wasn't our self-righteous attitude. He woke us up. He softened our hearts. He took away that stony heart. He opened our eyes. He gave us the light. He gave us his light. And Ephesians 5:14 tells us, therefore, he says, awake. You who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So this is not a decision we made. We didn't choose Christ. He chose us. He woke us up. It was only by his sovereign grace. The Bible tells us that he took our heart of stone and he replaced it with a heart of flesh. He removed the scales from our eyes, or something like scales. As it happened with Paul, our eyes were open to the truth And God's truth set us free. And without Christ, we didn't merely walk in darkness. We were the darkness. The Bible is clear that we are all sinners. Romans 3, 10 to 12 tells us, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seek after God. They all have turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. It's fair to say that without Christ, this is us. Is that true for you? I think it's true for all of us. Before Christ, we were living in Satan's dominion. We didn't even know it. And don't fool yourself. We were all there. But the same God who spoke physical light into existence in the book of Genesis still speaks light into our hearts today. Christ is the light that navigates our lives. He directs our steps. He lights up those dark paths, those dark forests away from the city lights. He's the light that never fails. The problems come, and they do come, and it's not if, as we talked about in the Bible study downstairs, it's not if, it's when, and they will come. But they are much easier to deal with when we have Christ by our side. Now, Psalm 23, 4. It's a perfect example. It gives us that assurance. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, the pastor did a sermon on this verse alone, I don't know, maybe a couple months ago. And he highlighted how David writes that he walked, as he walked through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, he doesn't say that he ran, that he jogged, that he was in fear, that he was scared. He said he walked. He walked in confidence. That's because God was with him and he was with God. And we can do the same. We can apply this message to our own lives. I know the pastor often says to take a Bible verse and apply it to our lives, make it personal. Put your name in there. When you're in those dark paths, whatever they might be, God will comfort you if you put him in every equation of your life. As our brother Joe reminds us to do that often. You will fear no evil. You have to believe that. But just like David relied on God, we need to do the same. We need to put him in everything we do. Those dark trials that we go through, they're nothing when you have Christ by your side. Call on him and he will help you. The Bible tells us we can do all things through Christ. And we can. And you can. In our scripture reading in Ephesians 5:8, Paul was telling the church in Ephesus, they were once in the darkness. And before Christ, Paul was certain familiar with the darkness, wasn't he? He was the darkness. It's fair to say that before Christ, Paul lived in that shadow of the valley of death. He was the valley of death. He persecuted Christians. And it's amazing how God used him. And if he can use Paul to that extent, to do the things that Paul went on to do after being a persecutor of Christians, what can he do with you and me? You know, Christ removed the scales from Paul's eyes and he became a warrior. He was a martyr for Christ. Our transformation might not be as dramatic as Paul, but we are a miracle nonetheless. But friends, the darkness of this world runs deep and increasing. Look around you. Do you feel the spiritual attacks? They're everywhere, especially on Christianity. One of our neighboring countries is looking to put forward a bill that would make certain Bible verses illegal hate speech. That's true. And we can't fool ourselves that we are immune from that type of governance. I'm not telling you to worry about politics. God's in control. We're not. No, the Bible says that God puts kings in and he takes them out, and he does it for his own glory. But we have to be aware of what's going on. We need to, more importantly, remain strong in our faith. As believers, we see the attacks crystal clear. We recognize them. But if you don't know Christ, you don't see things from a biblical view, from a biblical perspective. You conform to it. You accept it. I know that's true. We see it all around us. We see the confusion all around us. We see the hostility of the truth. Everyone has their own truth these days. We live in a world where lies are celebrated. We see the deliberate attempt to tear apart the nuclear family. We see the corruption in our political leadership. And it doesn't matter what political party you follow, they're all the same. They're all corrupt. We see it in the deception of the media. We see it in the education system at all levels. Things are being taught to our children that we could never imagine in my lifetime. We live in a world that's fueled by the desires of the flesh, by greed and pride. And in our natural depravity, we would choose the same. We lived in that darkness. We do it because our deeds are evil without Christ. I think that's true for all of us. It's important to train up our young in the Lord. And brothers and sisters, before Christ, we were all dead in spirit. We lived in a carnal state. While our outward appearance looked good, inside we were falling apart. I think the statement is probably true for all of us. Thank you, Lord, that you pulled us out of the darkness. We didn't deserve it. And we bring nothing but our sin and our shame to Christ. Now, one of my favorite hymns, Rock of Ages, says, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling." That's an application right there you can put in your life every day. Cling to the cross. This is what we need to live our lives. We're new creatures. We're not the same people now. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that we are new creatures in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you're in Christ, put away that shame. Leave it all behind. You're not the same person. You don't have to look back to the plow. God has made you a new creation. You're not the same person. You've been justified of your sins. You must believe that because it's true. Christ's defeat of the cross wasn't in vain, and don't let it be in that. He bore that pain for you, for me, for all of us. He suffered that horrible, bloody death on that cross for you and me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, darkness to light is the story of every true believer. Your salvation doesn't mean you live in less darkness than others. We were all the same. And just as Isaiah said in our scripture reading, "Arise and shine." The world doesn't own you anymore. You don't belong to the world anymore. You belong to God. But with that comes responsibility. You're called to stand up in your new identity. You're called to share the gospel. You are called to be the salt and light. You're called to hand out those tracts. We know that they're efficient. We know that they work. Our brother Wink can confirm to that. And we all can do the same thing. We can't rely on one person in this church to hand out tracts. All of us have to do the same thing. You are called to be the salt and light. We're called to expose the darkness, not hide it. As believers, when God said arise, it was a reference to our resurrection. We are made new. We have a new identity. We are chosen. We're a royal priesthood, as the Bible tells us, a holy nation. We're being sanctified, and that demands us to live our lives according to God's will. Our old sinful lives are no longer optional. I mean, even our entertainment options, our choices are different. There's things I don't watch on TV now that I used to watch. There's discernment that comes across as I'm watching something that I know that I can't watch anymore, that I know that I used to watch many times. I just can't do it anymore. And neither can you. We will never be the same. Be the salt and light and do it for His glory. Matthew 5, 14 to 16 calls us to do just that. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before man, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." It's pretty clear what the Bible tells us to do. And to a believer struggling with a dim light, I ask you, is sin pulling you down? Is sin covering your light? Is your doubt, your backsliding, your unbelief weighing you down? Are you barely managing to see the light? If that's you, we talked about it already, go to Him. Look to His word. Go to a place of prayer. Surround yourself with other believers. Cling to the cross. Cling to that cornerstone that never moves. Run back to Him. Get on your knees in prayer. But friends, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, I say this with love, with tenderness, with joy, but with a strong sense of urgency. Whether you're here or online, if you don't know the Lord or your Savior, I pray that today would be the day. It's not an accident that you're here. It's not an accident that you're listening online. But here's the harsh but true reality. You are a sinner. We all were. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is no righteous, no, not one. We can try to convince ourselves otherwise, but you're not alone in your sin. Every believer has walked in your path. It's not too late until it is. You're not beyond hope. Christ didn't come to save the righteous. He came to save sinners like you and me. Christ is the antidote. He is the light to your path. If you read and recognize that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, Romans 10:13 tells us, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." It's pretty simple. It's not complicated at all. Come to Christ just as you are. Come to Christ with a contrite heart. You could do it right now. You can do it in silence. I'll say it with you. God, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I need a Savior. I can't do it without You. Save me from this dark world. And He will. Christ doesn't turn anyone away. All you need is repentance and faith. Christ is the only one that can bring us rest, that rest that we all long for. We didn't have that rest before Christ. Again, something else that we talked about in our Bible study. And Jesus tells us that in Matthew 11, 28, 30. It says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That rest, that peace that we find in Christ, you can't have that without it. You can't. He's the only one that can provide that peace. And for my brothers and sisters in Christ, we're here today because that's exactly what happened in our lives. Isn't that right? We were dead in our trespasses. We were dead in our sin. But we are blood bought. We are new creatures. And we need to live according to that light. Isaiah's message in our sermon scripture applies to us today. We need to awake from our slumber, not conform to today's culture. We need to live bold, joyful lives that stand out in the world. Lives that reflect Christ. We need to be seen in his image. We realize that things might seem out of control. And for the most part, they are, but they are in God's control. There's nothing that happens in the world that God doesn't allow or permit to happen. He's a sovereign God. When we struggle with everyday life battles, Christ is the only anchor that can hold us down, that can put us together, that can take us out of the mess that we're in and draw us closer to him. It's only through him that we can weather the storms of life. In closing, I'm going to leave you with some applications. I ask you to take them home and live by them. In marriage, love each other as Christ has loved the church. Men specifically, honor and protect your wives. Be respectful, loving, caring. Love like Christ loved us. In parenting, teach your children the love of God. If you don't train them up in the world, if you don't train them up in the Lord, the world will train them. And we see it all around us, how that works out. It doesn't work out very well, does it? In the workplace, show integrity. In your workplace, work as if you're being watched. Your boss might not be watching you, but God is. So use that integrity everywhere. In our everyday lives, we need to watch every word that comes out of our mouth. Words can do more damage than physical harm. I'll share a story that I heard R.C. Sproul saying that when he was a young man, he fell a couple of times. He broke his arm. He had scratches on his arm and his leg, and you know, typical things that children go through. And you know, you would recover. You know, your mom or dad puts a bandage on it, or if you break your arm, you put a cast on it, and you survive it. But harsh words, they don't go away that easily. It's important that we watch our tongue. Love your neighbor, especially within the church. And in suffering, I know this is a tough one, but as the Apostle Paul spoke of, rejoice, knowing that you are blessed. And in prayer, pray without ceasing, as the Bible commands us to, and put Christ in everything we do. He's the light that never dims, and the darkness will not overcome it. Brothers and sisters, we were all once in the darkness, living in our sin, living in the sin of the world. But by God's mercy and grace, the light of Christ has shone in our hearts. He has removed that stony heart and replaced it with a heart of flesh. Christ awoke you and me from our slumber and brought us to his everlasting life. With that in mind, let's walk as children of the light. Put away your old selves and shine that light. Shine as Christ commands us to. I just leave you with a message as we go into the new year. Remember this message. This is a message we just celebrated. We just celebrated the birth of Christ. This is a message that Isaiah was prophesying about. Let's go out into the world and shine the light of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you have done, Lord, in our lives. We thank you for this church. We thank you for our pastor. We thank you that you have called us out of the darkness of this world, Lord. For anyone that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they would use that verse, Romans 10:13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you will. And that could be the start of your salvation, a new path in your life. You will never be the same. You will be made a new creation. Your stony heart will be removed and replaced with a heart of flesh. I pray with great anticipation in Christ's name. Amen.